The New York Times is reporting that angry farmers are reshaping the political landscape of Europe, but maybe not for the best. But the anger is valid, and it's on this continent too. It's just harder for our culture to listen to it. I'm Shannon Hayes, and you're listening to Season 5, Episode 3 of The Hearth of Sapbush Hollow. Welcome to the Hearth of Sapbush Hollow, chronicles and lessons from a life tied to family, community, and the land. I'm Shannon Hayes, and I operate Sapbush Hollow Farm with three generations of my family in the northern Catskill Mountains of upstate New York. I'm the chef owner of Sapbush Cafe, a farm-to-table and neighbor-to-neighbor experience, open Saturdays 9 to 2 from April through November in our tiny hamlet of West Fulton. And I'm also the author of a few books, including Radical Homemakers, The Grass-Fed Gourmet, and Redefining Rich. Jean-Michel Sibel and his wife Maria are selling their farm in France. It has been in their family for over a century. I don't know Jean-Michel and Maria, but my stomach churns as I read about them in the New York Times in a piece published this week titled, Angry Farmers Are Reshaping Europe. The regulations are too strict, the costs are too high, the work is too hard, the income is too low, and then there's the clincher. Their kids don't want to take it on. I don't want to be an angry farmer. But this season, I have to admit, I know keenly how it feels to be an angry farmer. It's not just European farmers who are feeling the pain. Like a lot of farmers, it's not until the winter months when we can afford to take a hard look at the numbers. The growing season requires too much running around to allow for the deep analysis to try to figure out why we're pulling so much from savings in order to cover the bills. So while news reports declare that inflation is settling, family farmers that direct market, like ours, are only just now coming forward to their customer base, letting them know that prices have to go up. Way up. In 2023, our livestock processing fees went up 50%, even though we processed fewer animals. Labor went up 20%, feed went up 55%. Across the board, the cost of production increased by 25%. As we face down the reality of the numbers, I've become just another angry farmer. Right now, I don't want to be thinking about the numbers. Last winter, I began a series of interviews with my mom and dad reviewing farm protocols. This winter, the plan was for me to spend more time outside with dad, more time reviewing the transcripts and writing these protocols up, more time directly with the animals, trying to absorb what he knows about running a farm, about monitoring the animals' health, winter grazing, about bringing the livestock through their reproductive cycles. I'm supposed to be learning how it has always been done so that my family can continue on the land for over a century. But the numbers demand something different. I need to tear apart the website and the point of sale systems and institute a massive price increase. I need to prepare our existing customer base to accept the price increases for our spring CSA recruitment. I need to work on the farm's marketing plan to bring in new customers as we brace to lose those who can no longer justify paying what we ask, especially when neighboring states with lower labor and expenses are able to generate the food at a much lower price. I'm supposed to be learning from Dad how to perform artificial insemination and how to balance a feed ration and how to do body condition scoring. Instead, I'm having to learn how to do search engine optimization, how to download .csv files, and implement massive price changes that will upload to the website without having to do manual changes. I'm having to learn about Google Ads and Google Analytics and Google Search Console in an effort to secure our little family farm a share of the tiny, socially conscious meat market that is increasingly gobbled up by slick online grass-fed meat aggregators who have co-opted all the language of the homespun sustainable local food movement and repackaged it into branded boxes and perfectly crafted ad copy with click and deliver efficiency, all of it far removed from the troubles, messes, and realities of a true family farm. I grow angrier and angrier as the pull of my family's mountain pastures and our tradition of raising livestock has landed me in front of a computer for hours and hours each day. When I think about what it takes to keep a farm operational, I think about repairing fences and rotating pastures and feeding pigs. Instead, I feel like my role as the current generation at the helm of the family farm is to be a data analyst, software engineer, web marketing specialist, content creator, copywriter, and bookkeeper. Except all those people get paid for what they do. By contrast, I toil in front of this screen with no paycheck under the weight of incredible guilt, worrying about which of my customers won't be able to afford to eat our quality food any longer while I try to make sure the farm brings in enough revenue to cover the feed, the butcher, and the insurance so that the rest of my family can feed the pigs, fill water troughs for the sheep, check the pastures, repair the fences, gather the eggs, and feel what it's like to be real farmers. It is so hard not to be an angry farmer right now. I know how Jean-Michel Sibel and his wife Maria must feel, except for a few little differences. This work may have fallen to me, but my family slowly wraps their heads around how it is eating me alive. Ula starts using her freshman writing class to generate articles that I can use for our website. Saoirse digs into her college files and begins pulling up stories she's written to contribute. Dad, who rarely takes a pen to the page, sits down and begins writing articles to help put more engaging content on the website. Bob grabs a laptop and begins working at updating our contact information and web details across the internet. The customers begin sending back their CSA order forms, and they sign up for beef shares, lamb shares, pork shares, and chicken shares in record numbers. The equinox comes, and with it, my freedom to push away from my desk and go back into the cafe kitchen, simmering broth, kneading dough, laminating croissants, roasting meats, and forgetting numbers by dancing, dancing, dancing as I cook. The cafe opens at 9 a.m. for the first day of the season last week, and the place fills up with friends, neighbors, and longtime customers so happy that their favorite weekend brunch spot is open once again. Spring has come, and the hum of the season has begun. Our family business feels like a necessary heartbeat, pulsing with joy as customers walk in and out of the door, buying meat and eggs, sitting down for coffee and a visit. Jean-Michel Sibel and his wife Maria are a reminder that there really are global forces tearing us farmers apart. There will always be more regulations, wars, climate challenges, and savvier business people who will be one step ahead of us, seizing upon what we do and then yanking it away. But for today, I still have daughters who love this land and place as much as I do. I still have a father who patiently explains the differences in our deworming protocols. I still have a husband who takes my manure-soiled clothes and plunges them into the washing machine when I return from those cherished trips out to the barn. I still have a mother who is willing to wash the eggs and compassionately listen when I grow frustrated with the demands. And I have a community of customers who still know the difference between a slick, grass-fed meat marketing campaign and a heartfelt family business. And when I do stand up from this computer, it will be to place my feet on the ground and to walk this land as I have done for the last 45 plus years and as I intend to do for the next 45 plus years. Sometimes angry, sometimes peaceful, but always grateful. Sapbush Cafe is now open for the season, and it has a new home on the web. You can find it at sapbushfarmstore.com/cafe. There you can check out our menu, see the weekly prefix special, and learn more about us. We look forward to serving you every Saturday from 9 to 2 through the last Saturday before Thanksgiving. We have been glad to hear folks' enthusiasm for the new EV chargers in the cafe and on our store parking lot. We do have a few more weeks to go before the utility company approves and activates them, so please be patient. Very soon, if you come to the cafe, or if you want to visit the Honor Store, or have a picnic out by the creek, or if you want to stay at the Airbnbs and take a hike in the area, you will have a place to charge your electric vehicle, I promise. In other news, Sapbush is now shipping our meats. For one $50 flat fee, we will ship throughout the Northeast. So, the more you order, the more you save. But if you live outside the Northeast, it is better for everyone, including the planet, if you can find a local farmer in your own neck of the woods. For folks who would like to be able to recognize greater savings buying our wholes, halves, and quarter animals, but who lack the freezer space, we now have new meat subscription programs where the cuts are delivered to your door each month, and you can pause or cancel the service anytime. Read more about it at sapbushfarmstore.com/meat-buy-month. Our online website is also stocked with our eggs, wool blankets, and comforters and wool yarn. But if you're in the area, feel free to drop by the Honor Store any time of the day or night, located in the little red shed at the back of the cafe parking lot. The address is 832 West Fulton Road, West Fulton, New York. And woohoo! You will even soon be able to charge your car while there. If you'd like to come see us for a getaway, our farm-to-table retreat on Panther Creek and Tibbetts House across the street are both taking bookings through Airbnb. If you want to subscribe to the digital newsletter to stay on top of cafe and farm specials, farm happenings, or follow my musings on the blog when the podcast goes silent in the fall and winter, or get Ula's hand-drawn postcards in the mail and receive our CSA flyers, then send me an email with your contact info at shannon@sapbush.com. If you enjoyed this, please take a few minutes to leave a review. It helps other folks to find my work. And also, if you would, share this podcast with friends and family to help get the ideas to spread. Better still, you can help make the magic happen for as little as $1 a month by hopping over to Patreon and looking up Shannon Hayes. Or, if it's easier, you can also donate to support the podcast by sending a check payable to Shannon Hayes, care of Sapbush Hollow Farm, 832 West Fulton Road, West Fulton, New York, 12194. And that's a really important thing to do because all of this, the podcast, the blog, the books, and the creative recharging that happens over fall and winter, and the bookkeeping, are a result of the support of my patrons on Patreon. And this week, I'd like to send a shout out to my patrons Vivian Kaufman and Andrea Downing. Thank you, folks. I could not do it without you. In case you were wondering, this podcast was produced and edited by the sexiest man alive, my husband Bob Hooper. And the great music that we're listening to comes to us from Emory, spelled E-M-O-R-I-E. Thanks for listening, and have a great week.